This is the Yukon Entrepreneur Podcast, and I'm your host, Carrie Johnston. This podcast is produced on the traditional territory of Champanenasia First Nations in beautiful Dakota Haines Junction. We're recording this week all about Yukon innovation and featuring Yukon entrepreneurs who are working in health and wellness. I'm joined today by Natasha and Kyra. Natasha, Kyra, please go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Kyra Chambers. I am the equine director of Shofen Naji. I have been working at Shofen Naji for almost 3 years. Will be, I think, 3 years next fall.
For 3 years of the program was operating this October, but you started 6 months in.
Yeah, okay. 2.5 years. I've been a part of this beautiful team. And I look forward to continuing and seeing what the future brings.
And I'm Natasha Chatterton, Clinical Director for Shofen Naji Healing with the Land Society. So we operate out of Park Haven Farm, which is the farm Kyra grew up on. It has a different name now, but happy to call this land the home of our program.
Wonderful. And there's one more person who's part of your team, Diane Strand?
Yes, she's the executive director at Champanenasia. We don't know what we do without her. She keeps us all headed in the good direction.
Oh, wonderful. And so, Natasha, you've mentioned you guys have been operating for about 3 years. Where did this idea come from?
Great question. Diane and I had been working together for a number of years. Through Champanenasia, she was the director there and the senior director. And I had been working with Champanenasia and Kewanee First Nation for about 8 years, I think. And we had run a lot of different programs. We started running, we did a relationship, 1 year relationship program, and the feedback that we got was, you know, as Indigenous people, we don't always sit in a room and talk about our relationships with other people. What we're really interested in is parenting. And so then we did a year parenting program, and the feedback from that was, you know, we love to learn about parenting, but we want to learn about parenting with our children. And so then COVID happened, and it became really difficult for families to access external resources. Became really difficult to get to treatment, and just sort of saw that there was going to be a really big need within the territory to support families for healing. So there's just a lot of pieces that kind of flowed together at once, and put in a funding application that was a tiny little fraction of what we thought it would be, and I really need to acknowledge Jordan's principal, because our work is completely funded by Jordan's principal. We're partnering more and more with Council of Yukon First Nations now as well, but really need to acknowledge Jordan's principal and Jordan's family. So that's how it all started.
And where is your market? Where are you doing your work?
Mainly our work is here in Dakota Haines Junction, and we have a satellite farm in the Ibex Valley at Heart Bar Ranch near Whitehorse. And our market is focused towards Indigenous families spread all throughout the Yukon.
And it's Innovation Week here in the Yukon. So what does innovation mean to you?
Would you like to go first, Natasha?
Sure. I think I've always kind of lived my life by an innovation thinking mentality. If there's a box I'm supposed to fit into, I will do everything in my power to break open that box and create something that I have been told is not possible to exist. And so innovation is not like creating and moving by the boxes we're supposed to exist within. It's actually seeing what needs to be there. It's creating based on relationship, based on the present focus moment. It's creating based on what's not there as opposed to what is there. And it's when people tell you that there's a rule to follow, saying, is that right? let me find a million other ways to do it based on what I actually feel the flow requires.
For myself, innovation is like, it's a fancy word. It's like, what is innovation and what does that mean? For myself as a Champagne-Ajax citizen and as a young Indigenous person, I believe creating innovative ways of bringing families out on the land is going to always be my focus, and empowering young people and youth and children to be the best that they can be. And I like to show innovative ways of healing through horses. And for me, just kind of like Natasha said, like not following the status quo and not always having rules that dictate our lives. And that's one thing I love about this program, is finding ways to break down the colonized barriers in which we live by, to bring people out on the land and to ultimately share my love of horses.
And what inspires you about the work that you do?
Something that inspires me about this work is the strength that our families have, and their willingness to just be vulnerable and to step out of their comfort zone and to really want to empower themselves, which for me, our families is like, they're my heroes. They are so strong. And they're what inspire me to want to do this work. And, you know, children come running up to you and are just so excited to just be in the present moment.
Yeah, that's you can't really, you just kind of melt. I melt in those moments, right? When a child, you haven't seen one of the children in the family for a while and they come running for a huge hug. And I think what inspires is the relationships that get built over time, right? There's, like, I think every one of us, the team also inspires me completely, because we are very fortunate to kind of pull the best of the best from around the territory. The moment we have this way of seizing people right when they're in a moment of contemplation of what to do with their amazing lives, because they have come from maybe more colonial sort of frameworks that they've been working in, and it's maybe crushing their souls a little bit. And also the impacting creativity and the capacity to be in relationships. So our team is extremely inspiring. And when we've been working with a family for a while, and you know, each one of us has different people that touch our hearts, right? There's different children. There's a child to me that maybe is a little more challenging for someone else, is like the place where I'm like, oh, my heart just sings to be in relationship with. And so in each one of us has different people that we really connect with. And yeah, knowing that there's the level of trust that can be established, it really creates inspiration to keep going when the huge amounts of work that needs to be done need to be done. It's definitely about the relationships.
And what bothers you about the current system that you're operating within?
I think something that comes up for me just on the top of my head is, we are a business, non-for-profit, that really focuses on breaking down barriers. And of course, like anyone in any organization, we have a long ways to go, but that we're a lot farther ahead than government agencies are. And that you don't have the same barriers that other organizations might have in terms of helping. Like, we will meet the families where they're at. There's no guidelines, extreme rules on who gets to be a part of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a couple things that come up mm-hmm. when you ask about that. And one is the pull to become bureaucratic, mm-hmm. you know, even to get insurance, even like certain funds, like luckily Jordan's principal has a lot of openness.
Mm-hmm.
And even all of us as a team, we come from, you know, structured ways of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when we don't know the answer to something, we're like, oh, do we need a policy? And like, oh, it breaks my heart every time mm-hmm. someone says, maybe we need a policy. What are the rules? What are the regulations? So there's a pull within all of us towards that more colonialist way of being.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're always having to check ourselves, because the last thing any of us wants is to become another bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think that the expectation that is what a functioning system is, that, you know, rules, boxes, check marks, mm-hmm. lists, that's very difficult. And then the other thing that can bother me sometimes is watching how long it can take for action to happen within our system. And that,
mm-hmm.
that is really how this program was created. It was like, okay, well, we got to do something. Like,
yeah.
And if we wait for all of the different government structures to align in order to take action, it's going to be a long wait.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are some of the bigger challenges.
What do you think it would take to transform, to solve that? What's the call to action for Yukoners, for Canadians?
Well, something that I do on a regular basis when I feel the pull to, as a part of the executive of this non-for-profit, when I feel the pull of needing more policy, I take a moment and really, really think about why is it that I do this work, and what is the purpose of a policy? Is it just to make myself feel better in my colonized way of thinking that I was raised upon, or will it actually serve the family? So just really thinking of the policies that we make and the framework that we make, and thinking it through an Indigenous lens. As an Indigenous person, I am reconnecting to what that means to be Indigenous.
Yeah, I think it's just like what we're doing. How do we make change on it? I think getting mm-hmm. back to the land, right? Like what
mm-hmm.
We've had sometimes some chiefs and councils come and do days here. And I just think all of us can benefit from remembering that relationships have as much value as getting stuff done. And how do we help each other to remember that? Well, we come into relationships, right?
Yeah.
And so we spend time valuing and prioritizing things like land-based healing, just being on the land together, connecting,
mm-hmm.
And that has just as much value as, yeah, what's the bottom dollar? How much did you get accomplished? Right?
And
really, like, not just having that be something we say, but
mm-hmm.
I think that's what makes a lot of people really love working with us as well, like in with the organization, is that we really do prioritize relationships. So important.
It's as you're speaking, Natasha, I was thinking of, we did an overnight horse trip with one of our families, and somebody asked me, like, what was accomplished? And I was like, what wasn't accomplished? Just building relationship with the land, the horses, and this family. And that's going to be something that stays with these children for forever.
You can see it. You can see the pride, but the sense of self that is connected to when you spend time slowly building towards, like, whatever, horse time, creating a new piece of art, sitting around the fire, you know, doing ceremony. Like, you can just see the self expand, and it's very different than putting someone in front of a book to learn something.
Living in the far north, we have this unique advantage to see Canada and the world through a unique lens. What lessons do you think UConn has to share about what it means to bring innovation at the community level?
I think the Yukon is a bit of a place where there are some wild spirits. You know, it's changing a bit, but everybody kind of knows that. I mean, how can we help it? We're surrounded in wilderness. We have more moose than people. You know, I think that maybe we have less fear and inhibition around trying things. Like, when I came to the Yukon 15 years ago, it was like, oh, whatever I said I did even once before, people would be like, great! Run with it, you know, and sort of like having that. And I think what UConn is amazing at is community, seeing each other as a support rather than a competition. Mm-hmm. And so how to hold that lens of, like, what is this person beside me? Like, how are they connected and how am I connected to them? Because up here, we don't have a choice. We must be connected to the people around us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what gives us our strength.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly what Natasha said, and that most people in the Yukon, maybe they are living their best life, maybe they are working the job of their dreams, but in their spare time, they're doing what sets their soul on fire. They're doing what they love, and just, like you said, creating that community. I had a very good reminder today in this last couple of weeks that I'm not responsible for healing the community, but I can damn well heal myself, and in that creates a ripple effect across the community itself.
What's next for you guys and for the organization? Where are you seeing your opportunities?
We laugh because anytime one of the three of us, Diane, Kyra, or I, are like, okay, maybe we need to, like, take a breather, kind of pause, the other one is like, oh, but this thing, we must do it, and we can't help when someone else has that excitement to roll with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to say what's next for us is actually to, like, stop growth for a little while and mm-hmm. really, like, build all the meat into the growth we've had. And...
I do want to highlight how important that is, though, that growth doesn't always look like getting bigger. It's about really strengthening the relationship mm-hmm. and the heart of this business. And we have quite a few things coming up that we'll be really looking forward to. I will speak for... This part is we're hoping to spend more time out on the land. Like, all of our programs are in a yurt on the farm, and it's beautiful, and we want to continue that, but we want to expand to going to even wilder places, whether it's more horseback riding in the mountains on overnight trips, or ice fishing, or spending time really connecting these families to what their grandparents did, what their parents did, what they may have done growing up, and just really going back to the roots of what makes people happy, which is being out on the land.
We also started, like, a recovery stream. That's what we were blessed to be awarded the Arctic Inspiration Prize, and that was for... beginning an aftercare stream of our program. And so that will be slated to start in April, which we need to remember to put that on our calendar as we're planning the calendar. And we're continuing on with our training, capacity building, training development. We've just secured some more funding for that, and so we see that as a really important piece of supporting land-based healing in the youth fund altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And also for us to, we're continually striving to understand what our role is in the Yukon, because
mm-hmm.
it's so much more than what we initially thought.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the immense skills of Diane and Kyra and your expertise, and the amazing team that we have. We have a lot of strength and a lot of capacity, and so we're trying to continually understand how we support more strength and capacity within the Yukon to
mm-hmm.
to be able to thrive. I very much know that the Yukon is on its path to becoming like the land-based healing capital of the world,
mm-hmm.
right, through the work CYFN is doing and the nations, and how do we support that as an organization?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just want to thank you guys so much for your time today, and if there's any final thoughts that you want to share before we sign off.
Just thank you for having us today, and I look forward to what the future might bring.
Thanks, Carrie, for all the work you do, for spreading awesome information about this kind of stuff. Yeah, it's really helpful to have that shared.
Innovative ideas.
Yes. You are the master of them.
Aquacata is full of them. It's what we do. Manishishi, thank you.
Thank you.